really good things to go through.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. We've been taking off for a little while, which is something I didn't do for 11 years. On the podcast here, the radio show was what we've always called it, and now everybody's doing podcasts. So we're back to our regular weekly times and rolling on from that. I am so excited today that our guest, Wendell King, is coming on, and I know you all will be too, because we have so many changes going on in our industry right now. And many agents and are listening, but we also have buyers and sellers and the general public listening. And it's tough right now. Some people don't know what to do or which way to go because the news tells us all these different stories. And then, you know, and the rates are changing. Oh, my gosh, they've gone up, I think, 9 times since March. But it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. It's a matter of mindsets and sticking in there, and Wendell's been in since 1998, so he has a wealth of information. We're going to dig in to the changes, mortgages, rates. He's a producing regional manager, national recruiter for InstaMortgage, and he's going to talk to us about what to look for when deciding on a mortgage loan before committing, so many different things, and homework does definitely make a difference. He actually is so well-versed in all the loans, and can't wait for him to tell you some stories from things of the past. We in this industry, boy, there's so many stories and so many heartwarming situations. He's well-versed in FHA, VA loans, financing the purchase of foreclosed properties, including the HUD 100 down payment program. He has an extensive background assisting first-time income buyers, high net worth buyers, borrowers, low to moderate income borrowers. I'm saying buyers are not always, you know, it's funny in the mortgage industry, somebody's maybe refinancing, doing other things too. With us in the real estate industry, when they're getting the mortgage, they're usually buying something. Self-employed borrowers and investment borrowers. Wendell manages a team, and he's always ensuring that everyone is service-oriented, highly effective, and efficient with, he says, our delivery of loans to the closing table. He also states, our belief is that everyone can purchase a home with the proper guidance and coaching. Amen. That's really, you know, a lot of people think they can't, and when they can, and it does take guidance and coaching and planning. He came out as number one mortgage broker loan officer in the Metro Atlantic area more than once. Listen in today with us, and without further ado, I'm going to welcome Wendell King. Hey, Wendell, thanks for coming on today.
Natalie, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate coming on, and then, of course, just kind of sharing with the listeners as to, you know, where this market is currently, where we're going, and what I can do to assist.
Fantastic. And you're national, right?
Yeah, we are national. Actually, we just kind of slimmed down from 50 states to 26 just to kind of cut back a little bit. So we do cover about 26 states right now.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. I'm so excited to talk to you today, especially since you've been in since 98. I've been in the industry since 85. And we old-timers, the rates went down so low the last few years. And now 9 times since March has really crept it up. But for us old timers, these rates aren't really that high, are they?
No, absolutely not, Natalie. Actually, I am absolutely loving this market. This is kind of where you separate, I would say, the best of the best, because now we're going back to a situation where you're going to have that buyer going to have not all that competition because the rates were low. The economy was so robust. So now we're kind of getting getting that market reevaluated, putting it back to where it should be. Really, the Fed's waited too late to react. I refinanced some people at 1.5%, and then, of course, overnight, the rates went to 6.5%, 7%. So to me, it's just a little market correction for now. But, trust me, I'm not scared. You know, property values are coming down just a little bit. So it's great right now.
And you're actually in Atlanta, right?
Yes, correct. I'm in the Atlanta area.
So let me ask you, qualifying, I mean, from what somebody qualified today versus a year ago is a huge difference, right? Do you recommend doing like the buy down with the rates, or what do you recommend when somebody comes to you and they say, hey, I'm going to buy my second home. I sold my first home. I have X amount of cash, because of course you're dealing in FHA, VA, all different types of loans, whether it's conventional or I imagine even jumbos. What do you say to them as far as the rates go when somebody just comes in and goes, I need your guidance. What do I do?
Yeah, so what I like to do is look at an individual's budget. And when I say budget, meaning I like to see where they want that monthly payment to be. Okay, because we all know right now we're in a situation to where we're trying to keep as much cash in our pockets as possible. So when we're looking at that monthly payment, okay, do I want my monthly payment to be $2,500, $2,700, or $3,000? So the reason I said that, we can look at, what is it just on a 30-year fix? What is it on a 2-1 buy down?
Mm-hmm.
What is it on a 3-1 buy down? So there are different ways that we can look at it. And what I like to do, of course, is look at it in reverse, meaning, okay, where's my budget?
Okay.
Where do I want to be? If I want to be at $2,000 a month, okay, maybe I need to go with a 3-1 buy down. And then what it'll do, it'll buy me 3 years to at least put myself in a position to where, okay, I can let these rates cool down a little bit, let the market come back a little bit, then I can come back and refinance within 3 years.
Okay, so on the – now this is providing that they qualify, right, because they have to qualify, no matter what the – and I've found over the years most people want a payment that's less than what they qualify for, but how to – explain to everybody how the buy-down works, whether it's a 2-1 or a 3-1.
So let's look at a 2-1 buy-down, right? So basically, a 2-1 buy down, the payment is calculated, let's say, at 2% below the note rate for the first year. So let me give you an example of that. Okay. So right now, so let's say the rates are at 6.5%. Okay. So for the first year, the payment, the interest rate is going to go from 6.5 to 4.5 for that first year. Now, what's going to happen in the second year? Then of course it's going to be calculated at 1% below the note rate for the second year, so which means it's going to go from 4.5 back to 5.5, okay. And then of course in that
well,
third
what if it's
year,
higher?
It's
can it go to, higher?
No, it will not go higher. So it's fixed.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's fixed. So keep in mind it's a 2-1 buy down. So we're going from 6.5, we're going to buy it down to 4.5 for that first year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to go from 4.5%, and then of course to 5.5%. Then in that third year, it's going to go back to 6.5%.
Okay.
Make sense?
So when you do this, who's allowed that buy down? Because I know I'm asking questions so everybody knows, because I do, I know this stuff because of what I do, but I want to be clear on things. So with the buy down, okay, if they do a 2-1, unfortunately, and I'm going to say this, I'll say it on the news because I'm very careful about what I say.
Mm-hmm.
When they
mm-hmm.
did the Dodd-Frank changes, Yes, it was to protect the public, but there were a lot of changes that they made that kind of handicapped people and really made it difficult in some ways on some of the loans. So on this 2-1 buy down and even a 3-1 buy down, so a 3-1, who can pay the buy down? Who can pay the extra? Because in order to get it down, what is the point situation? Doesn't somebody have to pay extra?
Yeah, so either the buyer has to pay extra or you can get the seller to pay extra. Now, in some cases, it's going to be best for the seller to pay extra because just like you were saying with Dodd-Frank, you're going to run into what we call high cost. So once we run into that high cost area, then, of course, we're really going to need to get those concessions or credits from the seller in order to cover that buy down to make sure that we're within those Dodd-Frank rules.
So, yeah, it makes it really difficult because, to me, my opinion is, hey, if I'm a buyer and I want to buy the rate down and I have the extra cash to do it, why can't I do it? You know what I mean? I don't think it's fair that it's restricted, but it is. It's restricted. So does the seller, like, what would be just as an example, if somebody's buying, say, a $400,000 house, they want to do a 2-1 buy down, what would be like the max that the buyer could pay? Is it because it's going to be max in points and closing costs? It depends on the type of loan, right? But how much could the buyer pay, and then how much would the seller have to pay? Just an example. An example.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was going to do. So just like you were saying, it's $400,000, right? So for that 2-1 buy down, it may cost you, let's say, 2.5% to buy it down. Okay. All right. So, and each state is different. So, like in Georgia, the max that you can go in total cost is 5%. That includes, you know, lender costs, all third party costs, attorney costs, everything. So 5%. Okay. So by the time you look at
5% for the buyer or the seller?
5% overall cost in total cost for that transaction. So with that being said, so we're looking at $400,000. At 5%, you know, at that point in time, you know, you're looking at $20,000 in total cost, total closing costs
even the closing cost. I don't mean to cut you off. I just want everybody to understand it clearly.
Yeah.
Even the closing, right?
So even the closing. So you're looking at the buy down fee, and then you're looking at the closing cost as well. So just keep in mind, typically closing cost is going to set you back about 3 to 3.5%. You know, somewhere in that range. So with that being said, if you're looking at a buy down at 2.5, then of course you're going to need some additional assistance from the seller to help reduce that percentage that you're going to be over on that threshold in that state.
Right.
Okay. So let's say $400,000. Okay. We're looking at $20,000 in total cost, right? Okay. Total closing costs that you could, you know, that you max out on $400,000. Okay. So
but not, that doesn't include the down payment, right? Including the down payment, just the closing. Okay.
That's just the closing. That's correct. Just closing costs, period. So now we're looking at 5% total, so which is $20,000. Okay. So your buy down is coming to $10,000, right?
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's just for the buy down, because the buy down could cost you 2.5% just to buy the rate down.
Right.
You know? So now you're looking at 2.5% just for the buy down. So now you're looking at $20,000, and then of course plus the $10,000. Of course, now you're looking at $30,000. You know, this is just, you know, now we're talking about 7.5% total in total cost. Now, not to say that the overall closing cost is going to be $20,000, but we're just kind of using this pretty much as an example. A lot of times, I'm a visual person,
right?
So of course, I like to see exactly what's, you know, kind of what's going on, and give me a better idea as to. So that way I can kind of visualize
And then you can figure out what other loan might be better for them or whatever. So how about the 3-1 buy down, same thing, 5% is the max or what?
Right, exactly. So, again, each state is going to be different. You know, Texas mm-hmm. is a very, very difficult state when it comes to costs and fees and that type of thing. In Texas, I want to say the max is going to be about 3 to 3.5%. In Texas.
Oh.
Texas, yeah. So Texas is a brutal state. Even though the program, the buy down is great, but in the state of Texas, you may not even qualify for that type of program.
Oh, that's a shame,
and
though. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna say the other thing to keep in mind is you really want the best credit score possible. So especially in the state of Texas, 680 and higher is where you want to be in the state of Texas if you're looking at doing a 2-1 buy-down. Reason being, because you're going to have what you call loan level adjustments, which means that these adjustments that are passed through by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which is passed on to the borrower based upon their credit score,
wow,
loan amount, things of that nature as well, debt to ratio. So all that is passed on to the borrower. So keep in mind, you're still going to have those costs included as well.
Wow. So the 3-1's the same deal, right?
Same deal.
But you need more points to buy the 3. Well, it doesn't matter. You're just doing a 3. You're buying like a 6.5 would be down to 3.5 or not?
That's right. That's right. So just say for kicks and giggles, you're going from 6.5 to 3.5 on a 3-1 buy down. So of course now you're looking at 3.5%. So that 3.5% cost, okay, so keep in mind the total cost that a borrower can pay when it comes to overall cost is 5%. So now you're at 3.5% just for the buy down, we're looking at a 3-1.
But is it 5 total, or what about if they pay 3.5 and the seller pays the rest?
So right, exactly. So let's say you're looking at 5% total in cost, right? And you've exceeded 5% because now you're at 6.5%. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So when I say 6.5%, your overall cost that you're maxed out at is 5%. Now you add the buy down in, now you're at 6.5% overall. Now what has to happen, you have to go back to the seller and say, look, Mr. Seller, we're looking at $400,000, and what we're going to need is an additional 1.5% in order to get this down, in order to get the buyer into the budget that they need to be in, which is an additional $4,000 in closing costs.
But that would seem okay. I've been hearing some people say that the seller has to pay most of it and they can't get it, because I thought, why not? If the seller will pay it, why not? So maybe that's just kind of hearsay or a rumor, and it's really not true, right? So the 5% max isn't totally – it's max for the buyer, but the seller could kick in the rest, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
It gets tricky, doesn't it?
It does. It can get a little complicated, and you just kind of have to be careful with those things. And everything. So, but I mean, it's a program available. So it's something that we offer to our clients as well.
I love it. No, I love it. You really know what you're doing. It's just, there's a lot of things I've been, hearing out there that I'm going, no, that doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. And you have to check everything out because of the guidelines and the changes. So somebody, and it's different in each state. That makes sense. Florida, are you familiar with Florida?
Yeah. We do deals in Florida as well. Florida is not as difficult as Georgia, and then of course Texas.
Okay. What is the max? What if somebody goes, hey, it looks like the rates are going to change in a year, 2 years, 3 years, but what if they don't? I'd rather just get my rate down as low as possible, put the extra money towards it, and then get a fixed rate for, 15 or 30 years rather than gamble on the 3-1 or 2-1. So how does that look? Is there a limit on what they can pay?
So I guess kind of ask that question again, Natalie. I think I missed something there.
Okay. So if right now somebody says, okay, the going rate's 7, I mean, we know it's like in the 6s or something,
right,
but I'm just giving an example, right?
Right, right, right.
And say it's 7, and they do a 2-1 buy down. They'll start out at 5, and then they'll go to 6
right
in the second year. Say
right
it's 7,
right,
and they do a 3-1 buy down. They go down to 4, and then they're at 5. A 3-1 buy down is a little different, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If it started
at
7, they don't go all the way to 4, do they?
Yeah. Of course, they will go down to 4. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
So say somebody doesn't want to do the buy down where it changes next year and the year after. Say they go to you, hey, Wendell, I want to pay the extra points so I can buy down a permanent fixed rate. How does that work?
Right, okay. Okay, yeah, so in that case, then basically, so let's say right now, like you said, we're at 7%. So, and you just said, look, I'm not the type of person, I don't feel comfortable with doing a 2-1 buy down. To me, it seems like that arm stuff they were doing back in the day. So, yeah, Natalie, I'm pretty sure you remember those arms and that type of
right.
thing that we were doing years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, so a lot of people may say, well, look, I don't feel comfortable with that, especially somebody that may be in a situation where they may be 50 years or older and they don't feel like going back, dealing with the mortgage, you know, they're close to retirement. They just want to go ahead and get into a 15-year. In that case, so let's say at that point in time, if they wanted to buy the rate down, they could probably buy it down from 7% to, let's say, 5.5% to maybe, you know, maybe for, you know, 4.875 or something like that, just for kicks and giggles. So in that case, you're talking about maybe about 2 points or something like that to buy it down. So even with that 2% buy down, you still can't get assistance from the seller to assist with that. And then that way your rate will be fixed. You know,
you can, right? You can.
Yes, you can.
So what's the maximum? Is there a maximum that they can pay when they do that? If they, like the 5% that was the maximum, I mean, in certain loans, I'm assuming you're talking about like FHA loans, or what type of loans are you talking about usually?
So let's say if it's, so total seller concessions, right? So let's say the total seller concessions for a VA loan is going to be 4% total paid from the seller.
Okay.
And then let's say for an FHA loan, it's going to be a total of 6% that's paid from the seller. Now, when it comes to conventional loans, anything that is 80% and higher, 80% plus, is you're looking at 3%. And then anything below that, I want to say it's about 4% somewhere in there. Total that the seller can pay in closing costs. I have to go back and look at the guidelines.
We used to go as high as like 6% and 9%, huh? On conventional, if it was 6% and 9%, that was a while ago.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, long time ago, Natalie. I was a long time ago.
I'm telling you, they need to come back with our old ways, because our old ways were working. It wasn't. We're not talking about from 2000 to 2006. Like, forget that, right? But I'm talking about like the other ones. It was working really well. So if somebody says, hey, Wendell, I don't want to do this buy-down thing. I just want to pay those extra 2 points, and I'm going to get it 5.5, you know. That, why wouldn't that be the way to go? Why would they want to mess with a buy-down?
Yeah,
they would be getting a permanent buy-down. Let me take the words back.
Right.
I mean like a 3-2 or a 3-1 or a 2-1. Why wouldn't they do the permanent buy-down?
Well, to me, I like the permanent buy down better, because it's not as complicated. And so for me, I'm a kids type person. You know, I like to keep it simple. You know what I mean? So with that being said, going with the permanent buy down is better than the temporary buy down, because with the permanent buy down, you know what you're getting. You know, there's nothing in there that's going to say, okay, my rate is going to change, you know, every year for the next 2 or 3 years. And so of course, it's a whole lot simpler. Then, of course, you know, look, you know, your rate is fixed at that 5.5. It's done. If you want to come back and refinance later, you can. You're not obligated to.
Right.
You don't have to, you know. And
but wouldn't that be the way
to go?
Because that's what I keep thinking. And I've been told by different people, no, put them in that, you know, this 3-1 and the 2-1. And I'm like, okay, but I don't know. Okay. So are there still the limits on what they can pay in that when they're just going to go put the points down? There's still maximums, I guess, right?
That's right. So there's still maximums based upon that each state. So each state is going to be a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just funny we do Hawaii and Maryland as far as brokerage business, even though we have affiliates in all 50 states, but they're with our own company. It's Hawaii is so different, you know. FHA VA goes really high compared to Maryland, and then of course each county is different, you know, in Maryland and then Hawaii too, but we don't have as many counties in Hawaii. But I find it really interesting. I just wish, I mean, we can't, with this Dodd-Frank, is there any way to get changes made later? I mean, it's just getting out of hand to where, you know, in the old days, and I have to get rid of the old days kind of thinking, but we, you know, the rules would change like every year. Now some things are changing every couple of weeks. And then I think a lot of mortgage businesses, because there's so much liability sitting on their shoulders, that they make changes too, right? You have to sometimes go, well, you know, we're going to tighten up here and tighten up there. So what's your feeling about all that? I just wish that we could have a little bit more say in it overall, because it just hasn't worked beautifully since the Dodd-Frank came in.
I totally agree. So, I mean, Natalie, just look, and I'm not anti-government by any stretch of the imagination or anything like that. But
it's okay. We don't have to talk. We can talk a little political here, but not total political.
Right. So with that being said, I'm for capitalism. I'm for being able to go out, and a person should be able to make adjustments according to their business that they see fit. You know, so when you look at banks now, mortgage companies now, they are making adjustments. They're mitigating their risk based upon where the market is currently. You know, you're going to see some banks, one, that are going to shut down certain lines. They're going to increase the credit score requirements. They're going to get a little more strict on the debt to ratio requirements, the type of overall risk that they will accept. So with that being said, a lot of times the government really doesn't have to step in. I just don't believe in a person, you know, coming in and saying, look, this is how you should run this, when you don't do what we do on a daily basis. So when you look at Dodd-Frank, of course, it is governmental regulation. You know, again, I'm not anti-government, but I just believe that we as capitalists, as individuals who are actually operating our businesses, we actually know how we should mitigate that risk and how we should, you know, design our programs in order to be able to help people, you know, help home buyers. I mean, that's the ultimate goal.
Right.
You know, if you think about – go ahead.
No. I mean, owning a home is a big deal, and you can still get in the United States, not all around the world, but you still get your write-off, right? So it's a big deal. I mean, when people are renting, they're not getting the write-offs unless they're, you know, have a business and that's where their business is. So I just think it's a huge deal. But what can we do about it? I mean, we can't. I mean, hopefully, I know a lot of work that went into Dodd-Frank wasn't always with all the real estate and the mortgage professionals. It was, you know, set up differently. So I don't know. I hope some things can change, just because I know, like, for example, VA is absolutely wonderful, and the VA loans. And I think, you know, my dad served for 23 years, and then he passed 3 years after he retired. I am all for, and I think, you know, vets deserve to be treated beautifully. I mean, because that's a lot to do. And years ago, VA was very strict, and now they've really loosened it up. So sometimes you'll hear people say, I don't want to go VA because they're hearing things from the past. And VA loans are great, you know, and they're much more flexible, et cetera. So those are the kind of things. I just hope that we can loosen it up a little bit and get some more flexibility.
Yeah, and even with that, I think that for years, clients always ask me, hey, can I use additional income in my household? Okay. And so when I look at people who have, you know, I would say multi-generational households, so let's say, just like you were saying, if your dad was still living, and of course, I really just want to say thank him for his service, but, you know, if
thank
your dad was still living, he was living in your household, and then, of course, if you need that additional income to qualify for an additional $50,000 to $100,000 more, he's not going on the loan.
Right.
I wish that there was a way to use that income to help you to
qualify
you
can't.
For your home.
Right.
So situations like that, those are things that I really wish they would change. Just like you said, for the veterans, I closed a VA loan. It was $425,000. Debt to ratio was at 68%. So those instances, yes, 68% debt to ratio.
Wow.
I was able to get a veteran closed. Now, last week for FHA, a lot of lenders don't offer this, but I closed the deal with a 520 credit score.
You're kidding. How did
FHA?
You're kidding.
All day? Absolutely not.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me. Yeah, because normally it's it was 620, 580, 620. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
As a matter of fact, what I'm doing this week, I am sending out emails and text messages and calling all my referral partners, letting them know, hey, look, I just closed this deal for 520 credit score. As a matter of fact, you'll probably get the same message. So I'm just
can you
your
can you
time.
Do that? And you said you're 26 states. Can you do it, or it depends on the state they're in, right?
No, I can do it in all 26 states.
You have to give me a list of those 26 states so I can put it out.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, when you get a chance.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's fantastic. Wow, congratulations. That's great. Yeah. And that's would they have to put the 3.5% down?
They put down 10%. Anything below 580, it was 10% down.
Okay. Wow, that's fantastic. That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great to hear. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, hey, when we first got on the call today, right before the show started, we were kidding a real little bit about how different the market was years ago, because I got in 85, you've been in since 98. You mentioned the streamline loans. That must have been so much fun, huh? Streamline mortgages?
Yeah. Streamlines back then, before Dodd-Frank, they were extremely simple. I mean, we didn't need any income. We didn't need an appraisal. You could roll all the closing costs back into the loan and everything. I mean, it was super sweet, super simple. Now they've made it more complicated. You've got to qualify. You got to save at least 5% of the you got to be at least 5% plus savings. Of course, on the monthly payment, you may have to get an appraisal. You got to pay for some of the costs out of pocket. Doing a streamline.
Well, now you're.
I remember
when FHA, you could do streamline with FHA or VA. And for people listening that may not know, the streamline loans back then for FHA and VA were you didn't have to qualify, but the seller or the owner of the property, they were still on the hook for the loan, right? From what I remember years and years ago. We're talking about streamline. You're talking about streamline refis, right? I'm talking about like streamline loans. Do you remember?
So FHA. Okay.
Yeah, FHA, I don't remember if it was, I have to look back to see if it was 92 it stopped on FHA, and then VA still did it for a good while, and then they stopped it. And from what I understand now, FHA and VA loans, if you have one and you want to let someone assume it, they have to qualify, right?
That's right.
Yeah, they have to qualify, where years ago they didn't. You could just let them take over that package. It was heaven. And, of course, what they would do pretty much was pay you the difference, you know, on what that property was worth, and then you take over their loan. And I like those. And I know with veterans, so you still have to – if you have a house and you bought a VA loan, you're going to lose your eligibility, right, until that house sells, I believe, right? You just get to use it per house.
That's right. So
you're talking about – Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
No. You're talking about the actual streamline refinances. We can't do those anymore.
Well, you can still do the streamline refinances. However, it's just not as simple as it used to be. So with the streamline refinances, remember back in the day, I mean, you didn't need an appraisal. The only thing you needed was the borrower's name, social security number, date of birth, you know, the street address. And then, of course, you need the employment information, and that was it. And it's the same thing today. However, where it's gotten more complicated, you have to do these worksheets now and all this kind of stuff. You have to make sure that the borrower can qualify, make sure that they're saving, you know, 5% plus on their mortgage. And a lot of times people may not want to do that. Some people may just want to skip a payment and get a lower interest rate. So it has gotten more complicated. And like you were saying in regards to the streamlined purchases, the ones that they stopped.
Skip a payment. You mean skip a payment and get a lower rate? What do you mean?
So let's say right now, let's say if a person is looking to do a streamline. So let's say that their mortgage payment could be, you know, let's say $2,000. They come to me, they want to do a streamline refinance, right? So for them, the interest rate may go from, let's say 7% to, let's say 6.5% or 6%. They're going to save probably about, you know, let's say $200 a month. Okay. Whereas, you know, let's say that you're regulated, you may not be able to do that because you didn't meet that the 5% threshold. However, right now, I've got a client that called me and she said, look, I just need to skip a payment or two, right? So now it becomes more complicated in order to do that, because back then you could roll all the costs into the transaction. Now of course, if you do it with an appraisal, okay, a streamline with an appraisal, you can roll the cost in. However, some clients don't want to pay for that appraisal. Whereas, you know, of course, before Dodd-Frank, you know, you could do a streamline without an appraisal and roll all the cost in.
Right.
Now you have to get an appraisal and do all of that.
But the woman wanting to skip a payment, that wouldn't be like a loan modification because that would hurt her credit. Was she just trying to?
No.
Okay.
She's like, look, I'm in a crunch right now. All our payments were on time. And everything. The only thing about it, she just didn't meet the 5% threshold of actually,
wow.
You know, we have to reduce. It has to be actual savings to the borrower, at least the 5% of savings.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't that. And so, of course, she just wanted to skip a payment. You know, that's what she wanted to do. She's got a daughter.
How'd you do that for her?
Well, she couldn't qualify because she did not meet the 5% plus savings that you have to meet when you look at Dodd-Frank.
Right. Okay.
So I couldn't help her. So she wasn't going to be saving enough on a monthly mortgage payment.
I wish they would just make some changes. It was different than in 2000 and 2006. If you breathed, you could get a loan, but that's not what people now. I mean, it was a totally different world. How about no doc loans? Are you all offering those? Or I know they're just pretty much in different states.
You can do a no doc loan. So if a person has a 720 credit score, if they have 20% to put down and they have 18 months of reserves, they can do a no doc loan, which means that. So let's say somebody as wealthy as Natalie is, and Natalie, you know, her tax returns, you know, may show where Natalie is not making any income, right, on her tax returns.
Right.
Okay. And Natalie say, well, look, Wendell, I'm looking at this house over here for, you know, let's say $750,000. I have the 20% to put down. I have a 720 credit score. I have 18 months reserve, but I just write everything off my taxes. Now that's fine.
Right.
We can close that deal. We need about 30 to 35 days to get that done because it's a manual underwrite. Okay. So in essence, the only thing that we're doing is we're qualifying you, of course, based upon your assets in order for you to qualify for that property, not your income.
Oh, that's great. Are they – what are they doing, like 12 months of bank statements or –
No income whatsoever. No bank statements, no nothing. The only thing you need a bank statement for is to show that you have enough assets in the bank to cover the down
for
payment.
Reserves.
And the reserves. Mm-hmm.
Can you do that in the 26 states or just depends?
Yeah, it just depends.
Okay. That's fantastic. That's really good. Well, what kind of rate would that be? That would be a little bit higher than the going rate, I would think.
Yeah, you're talking about 9.5% on something like that. And a lot of times, a lot of those programs are pretty much either for business owners or for retired individuals, you know, who have, of course, the reserves, of course, to make those payments.
Right, right, exactly. No, that makes sense. Makes total sense. But it's good to know that they're coming back because for a while they were not, you know, after the whole big upturn, I heard a lot of places weren't able to do them at all. So it's good to hear that they're coming back.
For business. Yeah, I've been doing them now. But I would say prior to August, I was probably doing about three of those transactions on a monthly basis. I had people that were relocating or either buying second homes. They were, you know, from California, New York, places like that, coming to Georgia because it was, you know, it was cheaper to purchase a home in Georgia. So with that being said, I was doing about three to four of those a month, somewhere in there.
Wow. So then the 9.5, I guess they couldn't, the refis would be different because you'd have to do like a streamline somehow, right, if they wanted to bring it down.
Well, could do a streamline on that because it's not FHA. It's more of a portfolio type product.
Okay, gotcha. Interesting. Wendell, give us your contact information. I know everybody, you can always go to realityuniversal.com and we'll forward it to you, but let's get it from you.
Yeah, so basically you can reach me. My direct number is 404-213-8145. You can text me or you can call me on that number. My email address is Wendell, W-E-N-D-A-L-L, at instamortgage.com, and that's instamortgage.com. You can find me on Facebook at Wendell King, Instagram at King the Closer, K-I-N-G-T-H-A-C-L-O-S-E-R. You can also find me on LinkedIn as well, under Wendell King.
Awesome, awesome. Wendell King, that's awesome. The Loan Closer, I like that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
I love it. Okay, tell us a little bit about what is a HUD $100 down payment program?
Yeah, those were pretty hot, I would say, before the market kind of turned a little bit. Those mm-hmm. programs are still available, but it's basically a HUD foreclosure. So if a person purchased a HUD home using an FHA mortgage, they get foreclosed upon. And then, of course, what happens, HUD repossesses that home. Once they repossess the home, then, of course, they'll turn around and sell it. And then, of course, the buyer has an opportunity to purchase the home with $100 down.
A foreclosed house? Is it like a is it a relo?
No, it's not a relo.
Or it's not?
Right now, since there's a shortage of inventory, you have to be the first in line to find these properties, and you have to go to HUD.gov and look for HUD REOs in order to find these properties.
Right, right, okay. So, but wow, that's really good. That's really good to know. But like you said, it's probably a little bit harder, but that's really good. Because, I mean, on so many foreclosed properties, somebody has to come in or to go to the foreclosure sale. They have to have cash. They've got to buy it as is. They can't look at it. So that is nice about the HUD properties. You can go in and check them out, huh?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. There's a website that you can go out to. And then, of course, you can see the HUD foreclosures in your area and that type of thing. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, again, before COVID, oh, my gosh, it was pretty hot. And now there's a shortage of homes. Everybody is, you know, they're like, hey, look, if I can find a $100 down program or find a HUD REO, oh, gosh, they're jumping on it.
I love it. That's really fantastic. When you, I was just thinking, your mindset is so good because before we got on the show, I was asking you about there's so many different mortgage companies have been closing down. And I know that, you know, the really huge companies that are also servicers seem to be okay because they're servicing, you know, loans is a good bit of their business. So they've got monies coming in. And you said, no, you feel really good about the times right now. You're not concerned about it at all. And a lot of that has to do with your mindset. And tell us what you'd like to recommend to people.
Well, I think that when you look at the current market, you know, of course, if you listen to the news all the time and things like that, you know, they're going to tell you, oh, it's, you know, we're going into a recession and this is what's going to happen. And of course, you look at, you know, why is there such a shortage of workers right now or employees? You know, it's because people have decided, look, you know, it's best for me to go out and start my own business. There are so many things that I can do in this market. You know, where, gosh, I mean, every day, somebody's coming up with some type of app. Somebody's coming up with something, some type of idea. You know, I was, my niece, and I don't know if I should say this online. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that people don't know. But what she's been able to do, right, I mean, this is the brilliance of someone else, right, is uh-huh. she works as a claims adjuster. She bought this mouse. Okay, so of course now you know you get monitored while you're online working or whatever since you're working from home. She bought this mouse where a mouse can actually move by itself periodically to make sure that the screen stays open. You know, a lot of times, you know,
oh, that's
you, you
too
know,
funny.
The screen would go to sleep.
Right.
Yeah. So,
right.
So I'm just saying that to say that there are so many ways that a person can make money in this market. I mean, you know, you just have to think about what is it that a person does not want to do that I can go out here and do for them, you know. I mean, it's like
right.
I mean,
the internet.
Like
the internet has really opened up the whole. The internet's opened up everything for us, right? To be able to work virtually, and I've been doing the virtual for 20 years. We do, you know, both, but But it was so it was like the pivot was easy in COVID, except they shut down a lot of Hawaii, so that wasn't good. So, but that's exciting. It really is interesting. Now we have this, what is it, chat, AI chat,
GPT,
GPT and mm-hmm. I think that's going to be, mm-hmm. I think that's going to be like as big as the public internet has been, you know. It's just going to be wild, you know.
Yeah.
What's
going to
happen?
I
don't know.
I know. So when you think about what we started at, right, just in the mortgage business, right? So, mm-hmm. so for me, you know, we used to receive interest rate facts to us. You know, we used to have to take, you know, I would say rate sheets to realtors' offices and that type of thing.
Right.
Right. You know, whatever the case may be. We used to have packages couriered to the closing attorney's office. You know, the
right.
checks and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so,
right.
so if you think about where we've gone from then until now, you know, all of a sudden you can push a button and all of a sudden you're approved. You know, you
Isn't
can,
amazing?
You know, you can have closings. Yeah. I mean, you can have closings, you know, virtually now, you know, so it's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
As to where this technology has taken us to, even in the mortgage business, even though we're still a little behind, but still technology has elevated us, at a faster pace. And you look at ChatGPT and what you can do with that. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, once I saw that, you know, and the things that I can do myself, as far as, okay, let me type in, you know, what kind of questions can Natalie ask me, you know, while we're on our
right.
podcast, you know,
it's,
and the
it's
thing
amazing.
Would spit out all
I mean,
these answers.
It's amazing because I think about like with the criminals or what they're going to get away with because it's kind of bad, right? I mean, like the things are, I'm like, oh no, we are so trouble. And then they tell us, don't answer your phone because they're going to take your voice and they're going to go. I'm like, I'm in trouble because I've been doing a podcast for years, but my voice is out there anyhow. But you know, my son though, he's amazing. And he sent me something this morning. He's the head of surgery and he, loves photography. He sent me and nature photography, but he sent me a lens this morning. I texted it to me and said, "Mom, AI still has a way to go because the actual lens, the AI thing said this is it, all it was a vitamin bottle turned on its side, and it picked it up like it was a binocular, a photo lens, you know, for cameras. So, I mean, just to give you an example, it's going to be amazing." But there's so much still that's not going to be amazing, if that makes sense, like that people have to vet it and check it out. It's going to be like the wild, wild west. But I'm surprised. I did love it in the I went to a convention in Orlando a couple weeks ago, and they literally wrote a book and did a whole webinar within 1 hour. Isn't that amazing? That was like
mm-hmm.
amazing. I mean, it's like – you know, but so I think we have like a lot of takes on it and what it's going to be. But I'm looking forward to it. I just think we have to really vet it and check it out. But it's going to certainly help us in our copywriting and our writing, our advertising, even though we have to put ourselves into it. It's going to certainly cut down, just like you said, asking questions. I didn't use it today, but I want to get and start learning. Like it talks about your sale pages, and then you can even say, all right, now give me call to actions for these 10 questions I just asked you. It's pretty amazing, huh? But
I
don't know.
So my daughter, she ruptured her Achilles, and we're supposed to go on spring break this past week, supposed to be down to Panama City Beach. Yeah.
Oh,
and so, I know. Thank you. And so she said, Dad, I want to go to Turks and Caicos, for the summer. So I said, okay. So, and I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, I'm telling her, okay, hey, go out there and just put together an agenda and everything. And so of course this morning I came into the office. I said, you know what? I said, let me open up ChatGPT and let me plug this in. So I plugged in, you know, a five day vacation to Turks and Caicos for five people, you know, below $2,500, you know, and everything. And that's without effort.
And it did it?
Without effort because I can, it did it. I mean, within a matter of seconds, it did it. I mean, it
wow.
was like, a matter of fact, yeah, I'm going to email you what it sent me, and everything. It's like,
wow,
it was
I love
crazy.
It.
Just, in just a matter of seconds. It's like, you know, this is where you go. this is what you're going to do day one, day two, day three, day four. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is unbelievable.
That is amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
We just have to make sure that we think about this, the way the criminals can use it, so nobody can fool us, you know? It's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
and they're all,
yeah,
I like it. I'm
it
really
is.
Excited about it. Oh my gosh, it's been wonderful having you on. Our hour is almost gone. Do you believe it? It just flies on by. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners about loans or, you know, the market kind of, we don't have crystal balls, although it seems like, you know, we're going to get through it. The changes. And I think it does weed out a lot of stuff that you and I like to see weeded out, but that's because we're old timers. So for it's kind of, you know, in the business, I should say.
Yeah. And I'll just say this as a word of encouragement. Never let one lender, loan officer tell you that you cannot purchase a home. I believe in building a guideline or a pathway or a plan of action to put you into a home. Everyone in America should own a home, and you can. A no just means not right now, but you can. So call me. I'd be more than willing to help out to build that plan out for you, to help put that plan of action together. Don't have an issue with that. I love to sit down and talk with you. I mean, that's just what I enjoy doing. Reach out to Natalie. I left my information earlier. Just let me know. I'm more than happy to help.
Give us your information again, just real quick, just
It's you can call or text me at 404-213-8145. You can email me at Wendell@instamortgage.com. You can find me on Facebook at Wendell King. You can find me on LinkedIn at Wendell King. And you can find me on Instagram at King, KingThaCloser.
I love it. I love it. I'd love to have you back, too, and let's keep in touch. And I want to get those lists out to some of our people, too, around the country. So real quick, you're in Atlanta or right outside Atlanta? You're right in Georgia?
I'm in a suburb of Atlanta, and it's called Douglasville. So, of course, I love downtown Atlanta. I can see it from my deck, and I love to visit.
Did you? Can you really?
Yeah, I'm 30 minutes from downtown Atlanta. As a matter of fact, what I'll do is I'll take a picture of it from my deck and send it to you.
I love it. You know, I went to a PGA golf tournament down there, oh my gosh, in the 90s, and it was so much fun. But I have a friend who's in acting, and she's in Atlanta now, and they say that's the big becoming, Atlanta's becoming the big acting hub, isn't it? Like before even...
Oh.
You know, New York and California, Los Angeles always was Hollywood, and now it seems like Atlanta's really taken over.
Yeah, it really is because of the tax credits that the state has given. And so right now we have a huge Netflix facility that's being built, Lionsgate, and then, of course, there's pretty much not a time or not a day that goes by that you can't drive by and see these little signs to show where they're filming. A movie
really?
Or a TV show or yeah. I mean, it's always something going on. And of course, you know, The Walking Dead, of course, is filmed here in Georgia as well. So, you know, in the suburb of Atlanta.
Oh, I didn't know. But I hear it's huge. It's really, that makes sense. And that makes sense that great, they're given tax credits and it lends itself to pretty good weather too. Right. And gosh, now with the computer stuff, they do so much with everything. It's just amazing. They don't have to have
That's
those
right.
old sets like, you know, John Wayne days, right?
That's right.
Oh my gosh. I must be really boring because I could watch a movie as long as it's a love story with a little comedy in there. It's fine with me. I don't need to shoot them up, blow me up and all this stuff that comes through now with the computer. But that's me because I'm a woman and I'm old fashioned, but I think it's really exciting. Really exciting. What, you know, so much, like you mentioned earlier today, so many people can do so many things they want to do, you know, easily, much, much easier than, having to be in one trajectory. So
absolutely.
Fantastic. Awesome. Well, I want to have you back and we got to keep in touch.
Yep.
And I hope
you have
a wonderful day.
You do the same.
Absolutely.
The same.
Thank you, sir. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.